Blog Talk Radio.
Blog Talk Radio.
This is App Chats Radio, help for partners after sexual betrayal. We talk about it here.
Betrayal trauma.
We are APSAT certified clinical partner specialists and coaches who have been trained to help navigate you through this crisis. There is nothing we won't talk about.
Sometimes listeners want to know about triggers.
I'm dealing with the aftermath of my husband's affairs, and he still works the same job that he did when he was acting out. It's a job that allows him to hide his goings-on and when he stated was the previous trigger for his acting out. The whole 16 and a half years we've been together, he's acted out. In the beginning, what I thought it was just pornography. It ended up being, I found out 2.5 years ago, he had been with multiple prostitutes. I only found out a very small portion of that until about a month ago. How do you cope with all of that when you still have to deal with unavoidable triggers?
Well, of course you would feel traumatized by hearing all that information. And I got to tell you, Stephanie, that's a staggered disclosure. That's finding out little bits and pieces about your husband's behavior throughout a time period, making you feel insecure, unsure, and unsafe. So what we got to do is set up a situation whereby you get with a specialist to do a formal disclosure so you can hear everything at one time in a safe environment.
Staggered disclosures are just so impactful. They impact the body and the mind on every level. And it is scary, absolutely scary to hear more and more and more of the truth when you thought you had it all. Hi, I'm Carol Jurgensen, Chief, a.k.a. Carol the Coach, and I want you to know that we're here for you at AppSats. This is a show that's sponsored by AppSats so that people will know where to go to get the help they need. And I just had a new client today. She was a physician, and she said, I said, where'd you hear about me? And she said, on AppSats. I said, on AppSats? She goes, yeah, it's a podcast. And so I was so happy that she went to the AppSats website, and that is APSAPS.org. And she looked up who in her area was partner sensitive and trained to work with her. And that was me. I'm so happy. So the truth of the matter is you deserve the best. And AppSats, well, they really train their clinicians and coaches to understand what you've been through and what you need to get you through the 3 stages of partner betrayal. So I love that. And again, you don't know what you don't know. And so finding a specialist that's been trained is the way to go. You don't want to just go to anybody. Now, you and I both know that you've been through a lot, and it is time, it's time to really take charge of your own intentional self-care. And how do you do that? You think and believe in yourself. You identify what is it that brings you a sense of joy and happiness. And I know you may go happy. I haven't felt happy since this whole ordeal, but guess what? It's time for you to make that happen. Why is that? Because what we know is if you can't find your own joy and happiness, and if it's all wrapped up and totally dependent on what he has done to you, maybe even in this recovery, that may be good, but it may not. you're going to be like a puppet on a string, and we don't want that for you, right? Not at all. We want you to take back some control. I say, now, the partner, once discovery has occurred, you're in the driver's seat more than you know. I know that you wouldn't have asked for this to happen, and you can't control what he does and what has happened, but you can say, okay, I've been dealing with this for 2 years. It is time for me to set up my life so that I can feel good about me. You all know I run a woman's group, actually a sexual betrayal group, and I just asked my partners, I do this, when I send them the Zoom, I send them a question. And this week's question was, what do you say to yourself over and over and over again that is what we call a negative cognition or a shame cognition? Maybe it's you're not good enough. Maybe it's you're unlovable. Maybe it's you're not pretty enough. What is it that you say that ruminates in your head? And then I ask them to create an affirmation that offsets that negative thought. And they could either do it by using reality affirmations, and that might look like, even though it's hard for me to imagine that my husband will ever want me sexually, what I know to be true is that I am a loving, kind, and caring woman, and I believe in my own sexuality. So you actually identify what you're worried about, and then you come up with an affirmation that affirms you. Because you've heard me say this before. This addiction was not because you weren't good enough. It wasn't because you weren't pretty enough. It wasn't because you weren't sexual enough. His addiction started way before you, right? So that's what I want you to remember. Now, these are central themes that I know and you know you deal with every single day of your life, and that's why we are so excited to have Dr. Holland back on the show and just back on talking about some of the staples that you deal with on a regular basis. I mean, there is no doubt that when you've been betrayed by someone you trust, your whole world has been turned upside down. And Dr. Crystal's going to discuss the devastating impact that can have on you and every part of your personhood. But she's also going to be talking about how you can survive one day at a time. She and I both know that clearly you can, if you're able to, find a way to mend that broken trust, whether it's within yourself, whether it's with your environment, whether it's with God, or whether it's with Him, you can do that. So, Dr. Crystal, welcome to Betrayal Recovery Radio. How are you doing today?
Hi, Carol. It's so good to speak with you again. I'm doing really well.
Well, you know, you hit the nail on the head when you said you wanted to talk about trust today, because let's face it, there's not a day, an hour, or a minute that goes by for a betrayed partner when she doesn't worry about something like that. And we need to get her to the other side so that she's not so consumed by that broken trust. So I want to ask you, what made you decide that this was the topic that you were going to talk about today?
Well, I think it's such an important topic. And Carol, as you know, as we're helping betrayed partners, they really question so much when they're betrayed. Can they ever trust their husband again? And of course, today I'm going to talk about the husband being the addict and the partner being the wife, but we know it's also vice versa. It's not gender specific, right? Wives also can be the addict and husbands can be betrayed. So they wonder, you know, can I trust my spouse again? They also question themselves, How can I trust my own judgment? They question God. How can I trust God? Look what's happened. It's been so awful. They also question humanity, right? They start to wonder, can you really trust anybody? So I thought these things about my husband. I really believed that my life was one way, and now everything you knew seems like it was a lie. And so trust is at the core of betrayal, but trust is also at the core of recovery. And I think it's something that we talk about in therapy, so many different avenues of it. It shows up in so many different ways. It's such an important conversation on an ongoing process. And the answer is that, yes, trust can be built back, but it does take time and intention.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I just got an email today from a listener who said, what is your advice? Because I'm concerned about health risks and STDs, and my husband and I are beginning to work together again, and our relationship seems better, but I don't want to put my health in jeopardy. I don't trust him. I mean, he lived a double life for 20 years. What would you advise? So I'm going to ask you, Dr. Crystal, what would you tell this woman who is not only worried about her emotional safety, but her physical safety as well?
Oh, yes. This is very common. And Carol, I always recommend as soon as I start to meet with couples that one of the first things I recommend they do is they both get tested for STDs, and then they take a second test in 6 months. So nothing is 100% secure or can give you all the answers, but I do ask them both to go get tested, and also I ask the addict to please share with his wife the results in writing instead of just telling her.
That's good. And, you know, for me, I ask for them to do STD testing for every six months for 5 years, and I know that seems so excessive, but the truth of the matter is she can't just depend on his STD testing. She needs to know absolutely that she's safe. And you and I both know how tough that is for her, because she's thinking, why do I have to work this hard? Why do I have to work at going to the doctor just to make sure I'm safe? But the truth of the matter is she's got to do that because she's got to take responsibility for her health too. Doesn't she, Dr. Crystal?
That's so true. You know, I asked them both to do it, like I said, initially and then in 6 months. But Carol, I think that's a great idea. I think that's also another way that trust can be built, actually. I think that's a great idea. That ongoing, both of them getting tested will just strengthen and build trust as they continue to get negative results. And if they do get positive results, it doesn't mean that trust can't still be built, because together then they're going to have to address what the impact of an STD is going to mean for them as a couple.
Yeah, absolutely. And so that was her concern, and it came from that need to be physically safe. Now, what do you think? I mean, living with someone who you don't trust, but you want to trust, but you're not sure if you can trust, can feel mind-boggling. So what are some of the first things you do with couples or with partners when they just can't seem to get over the impasse, even if he's doing well?
Well, you know, it's interesting what the person said that emailed you when she's saying it's just not fair. It really isn't. The whole situation for the betrayed partner is just overwhelming. It's not fair. She didn't do anything to deserve this. She didn't do anything to contribute to this happening. But it's so overwhelming. And when you first discover what's happened, it really is a catastrophic event. Your life and your relationship are going to be forever changed. And catastrophe and devastation actually have the same meaning. And suffering begins immediately. you know, you have the initial discovery where you're first finding out information that is telling you there's something wrong, and that is devastating in itself. You start to suffer immediately, mentally, physically, emotionally, like you said, all the fears. Oh my goodness, what does this mean? What has he done? There's so many fears that you go through. The way you behave is very differently. I have women that tell me, you know, I feel like I'm losing my mind. They're behaving in ways, having anger outbursts, experiencing feelings and thoughts that they never even thought was possible. They are impacted on every single level. And after the initial discovery, then you have confrontation where you're taking this to your husband. He's going to lie, of course. He's in shock himself that you have found out. So he'll be gaslighting you. You'll feel more overwhelmed and concerned. Maybe you'll start to feel a little relief. You might believe that he's telling you the truth. And then there's always ongoing discovery and staggered disclosure. That happens in the beginning of recovery for most couples. There's extreme sadness and depression in addition to anxiety as you're going through this process. Right, the partner just wants to know the whole truth. She can go on this process of trying to find out information. He's trying to write out his disclosure. They've just started the therapeutic process. There's that just, you know, some people refer to it as those trickle truths. So she is just getting wounded over and over and over. Then they go to full disclosure. And most of the time in your full disclosure in a therapeutic setting, you're still going to get new information. So when they come in and they are so overwhelmed, like you said with the couple, I think the very first thing that should happen is education. And then we have to address the immediate crises. So, for example, we have to educate both of them on this is sex addiction. We have to educate them on what betrayal trauma is. I think it's important for the couple to be educated on both. We have to really make sure that we get safety established, address any crises within the family. Also, there may be some safety issues that need to be addressed immediately if the husband is perhaps looking at child pornography, or perhaps he's harmed a child, or maybe he's having an affair with the next door neighbor or a family member. So there might be something that has to be dealt with that's a crisis immediately. There may be financial betrayal, and that's put them in a situation, or a legal issue. Sometimes discovery takes place with a lawsuit, that the addict is being sued, or maybe he's been in trouble with the law, and that's what brings the sex addiction to light. So the very first step would be education and managing whatever crises are there for the couple.
Well, that makes a lot of sense, and you have just kind of run the gamut on what you believe is so important when looking at the diversity in sex addiction. Because, you know, obviously many, many, many addicts don't have anything that they participated in illegally, but many have, and it really can show up in their relationship. Now, let me ask you, obviously, you talked about disclosures and discoveries and how hard that is on a female partner, and it would be for a male, too. Why do you think partners question themselves so much? I mean, you would think this is where they could stand strong, but we know that if they had any inadequacies to begin with, it multiplies hundreds because they've been rejected. Why do you think that that is so prevalent among the beautiful women that we work with?
Well, you know, once that trust is broken, Carol, you know, it's horrible. It's exhausting. It's confusing. The partner is having to pretend everything's okay. They have constant fear. They don't know what's going to happen next. They're feeling like they're living with a stranger. I have a lot of partners that say to me, I don't even know who he is, right? And, of course, it's vice versa for gender either way, whether it's the husband who's been betrayed or the wife. Every day they have to look at and interact with the person that they thought was going to protect them and love them, and they're actually the person that's causing them so much pain. You know, there's confusion around sexuality. Should I be sexual with them? Should I have no sex at all? You know, they have this burning desire when trust has been broken. They want to tell everyone. And then at the same time, they don't want anybody to know. You know, there's so much confusion that goes on. But the main reason that you're questioning yourself when this happens is because you're trying to make sense of something that doesn't make sense. Right? What you believe to be reality seems like everything you thought you knew was a lie. So you question yourself. A very common one is when partners will say to me, how could I not have known? I feel so stupid. I feel so naive and foolish or dumb. That's when I remind them, you are not stupid or dumb or foolish. You were deceived. There's a big difference. There's no reason for you to have thought your husband was doing these things. Your mind would never go there. Plus, if you did question anything, most of the time, the addict is going to be very manipulative and deceive you. They're going to say things and you would have no reason to question it. You know, another way that they question themselves is, why am I not enough? Right? Even I have seen women who have very high self-esteem, very competent, really feel good about themselves. And when they are betrayed, their sense of self-worth is just wounded very significantly. They begin to compare themselves, to question themselves where they never had in the past. So one of the things that we do as the therapist is we want to help educate that what your husband did had absolutely nothing to do with you. You are enough. This is his issue. So that's why it goes back to Carol, that education part is so important. Another thing that partners do is they question their own judgment, right? How could I have married somebody like this? You know, they get gaslit also, so they start to just have all kinds of questions. Maybe they had questions prior to discovery, but they, you know, they didn't act on it. They thought, oh, no, or I believed him. So all of those things just really make them question themselves. They begin to think of all the things maybe they had done wrong in the marriage. Maybe I was disrespectful to him, or I didn't keep the house clean enough, or I gained too much weight, or, you know, maybe I didn't have sex enough. I mean, it could be a thousand things you start to question as you try to take responsibility. Again, what's happening is you're desperately trying to make sense of something that just doesn't make sense. Last week, I had a client tell me, Carol, we were talking about, I was setting up some targets to do EMDR therapy. And I asked her, you know, what do you think is the worst part of the broken trust with your husband? And she said, it's so difficult because she genuinely told her husband everything. She thought they were best friends. She thought they were each other's first sexual partners. She had given her whole self to him. She said, I felt like he was my person and I was his person. Then she finds out that he has this whole separate part of his life hidden from her, feelings he shared with somebody else, thoughts and desires he had. So you really question everything when you're betrayed.
Yeah, absolutely. And so somebody in that kind of situation, what advice would you give her to begin to focus on herself?
Well, the first thing that we do, of course, is we want to be able to educate them on trauma. What's happening in your brain, that there really is a brain component to trauma, Your emotional well-being is impacted, your physical well-being, you're going to have PTSD symptoms. So you're not going to be your normal self. You're not going to be your best self for a while. And that has nothing to do with you not being strong. You're very strong and capable, but the impact that trauma has on you is really going to shake you at the core. So being educated about that, understanding it's very normal what you're going through for somebody who has been traumatized, we really want to set you up with a support system right away. A lot of times women don't want to tell people. We want you to tell somebody who's safe. We want you to have a safe person outside of your therapist that you can talk to, that you can share the truth of what you're going through with, that you can trust. We also try to set you up with a support system of other betrayed partners. You know, it always helps when you are around other people and you don't feel judged and they understand what you're going through. Then we also want to focus on self-care and safety. So we start immediately talking about what they can do for self-care. They're not going to sleep well, right? Their eating is going to be impacted. They're not going to be able to focus like they normally do at work. But we manage that day by day. We give them good skills. You know, your therapist will talk with you about how to manage intrusive thoughts, which, Carol, you were doing a great job talking about that earlier. You have to manage those intrusive thoughts. You have to exercise. Sometimes you have to meet with your psychiatrist, with a psychiatrist, and you might need some medication temporarily to help you through a difficult time. You have to learn to ask for help. This is really important, especially for women. Sometimes, you know, they're just super moms or want to handle everything themselves, but you might just need to ask for help. You might not be able to do everything or have the energy to do everything that you were doing previously. You will get back to a healthier place, but you really have to give yourself grace. You have to be kind to yourself. You have to let other people love you and be there for you. And you just have to realize it's going to take a little bit of time to heal from those wounds that have been created. Carol, a lot of times I use the example is if you were beat with a baseball bat and then run over by a bus, you're going to have surgery and some, you know, complications. It's going to take you a little while to heal from that. You absolutely can eventually heal and go forward. But, you know, you really have been beat up. And so a lot of times partners will have that unrealistic idea that I'm fine, he's the one with the problem. So we have to really educate them that the impact that trauma will have on you is going to really impact every part of your person.
Oh, I absolutely agree with that. And, you know, obviously intentional self-care is so very important. And you heard me saying it earlier that women have to figure out how to add joy into their life, even when they don't feel like, even when they're depressed, even when they're angry, you know, even if it's as simple as petting their puppy or going for a walk, going a block and noticing the sun, and just very simplistic things that reminds them that they can really, they can separate from the betrayal, if only for a few moments, you know, only for a few seconds. We want them to be able to do that more and more and more. And Krista, you know, I mean, it is like being hit by a bat. The brain goes offline and they can't really think or speak like they could. And unfortunately, we've got women that have been in that state for 2 or 3 years because they didn't get to the right specialist to help them with grounding and resourcing and support. And so I'm so glad we are talking about this today.
It's so true. You really, you have to have help. You can't do it on your own. And it is devastating. And if you're not seeing a therapist who understands betrayal trauma, they're not really going to be educated enough. It doesn't mean they're not good therapists, but they're just not going to be the right therapist probably to help you if they're not trained in trauma and specifically betrayal trauma as well. But trust can be earned back. You will get to a better place and it can happen. But again, like you said, Carol, it has to be one day at a time. It has to be taking care of yourself, you will heal. You will start to feel better. The best way that I explain healing is if you had a physical wound and it was bleeding and painful and causing you a lot of problems, you would stop and you would give it attention. You would give it care. You would put a Band-Aid on it, medicate it, go to the doctor. You would do whatever you needed to do to take care of it, and then it heals into a scar. And when we have a scar, it's not painful. We hardly ever think about it. We very rarely see it. Every once in a while, we might see that scar and be a little sad because we remember how we got it. But most of the time, it doesn't even impact our life. It's the same way with trauma. You're wounded. You have to take time to heal, and you have to be intentional about healing. Or you're right, Carol, what could take much less time can absolutely keep you in a state of pain and woundedness for years.
Yeah, absolutely. And so that's why we're doing this show today, because you and I both believe that trust can be repaired, but it's one of the last things that is actually repaired, because first the partner has to focus on herself and get herself into a place where she can trust others. People, or maybe she can rectify all those misgivings she has about why God did this to her. And I know you and I both know how badly a relationship with God can be impacted. I mean, I work with partners who say, you know, this is karma. This is because I had an abortion when I was 18, and I know that this bad thing is happening to me because I did that. Or worse yet, they say, you know, I must not have been a good enough person, or God must have been trying to teach me something, and I don't know what it is, and I don't have faith that he's got my back anymore. It feels like he's punishing me for something. So, Crystal, how do you see women affected spiritually and in the relationship with God?
Boy, that's so common. It's just another part of your being that is impacted. You're impacted spiritually. It's very normal. I try to normalize for my clients. It's very normal that you're questioning your faith. It's okay to be angry. It's normal to struggle to pray or attend church or practice whatever beliefs you may have that you normally would. You know, sometimes they question, how could God let this happen to me? Or like you said, maybe they're blaming themselves that I did something to deserve this. And, you know, God is not about punishment. But your faith is very, very impacted by what's happened. And so I just normalize that for them. I remind them that God knows what you're going through, that suffering begins immediately, and that as you're walking through dark days, right, faith does help us to look for the light. So God is with you as you go through the dark days and as you suffer. And from a Christian perspective, there is a belief that God will bring good from what was meant for evil, but all people are going to suffer. And unfortunately, sometimes we don't get to choose our suffering. But this isn't about something you've done wrong. It's about being wounded. It's about being hurt. It's about being overwhelmed. And so your faith will get back to a strong place. I've even had people tell me that their faith has grown through something difficult like this, and it's even gotten stronger. Very normal to question trust and, you know, whatever the faith is that you believe. I think betrayal is the worst kind of suffering, because it's with somebody who you really thought that you could trust, and it's the closest person to you that is hurting you. So very, very normal for your faith to be impacted during this time of trauma.
Yeah, I agree. And what we know is that APSAT specialists they know that these are the areas that are going to be impacted. And so they can help you to really dissect, if you will, these issues. I mean, because it can make a partner feel guilty when she says, I no longer trust in God. And certainly when partners get the message from other friends, family, pastors, or therapists that maybe they had something to do with the betrayal, it adds an extra layer of betrayal. We know that a man or woman's addiction has nothing to do with marital difficulties. There may be marital difficulties in the relationship, but that was not a feeder into sex addiction. Perhaps men use it to rationalize while they're out. But when a man gets into good recovery, he wants to make it right, and he should be holding himself accountable and letting her know this had nothing to do with you. Now, I want our listening audience to know that I'm talking with Dr. Crystal Hollenbeck, and you can go to her website at www.crystal.com/DrystalHollenbeck, HollenbeckCom, and you can go to her site to check out her tools. She does 3-day intensives. She helps couples navigate how to get through this. Tell us a little bit about the specialties that you offer.
Well, I do. I am a CSAT. I'm an APSAT. And I'm also a national certified sex therapist. So I really specialize with help go from a place of unhealthy sexuality to a place of healthy sexuality. And of course, in that journey, there is oftentimes a lot of trauma for both the person who is the addict and the person who's been betrayed. And so I try to offer both intensives and in-person therapy as well as video sessions. We can set it up to do the sex addiction for couples, where we do a disclosure exam, impact statement, restitution letter, and a strong recovery plan within the intensive that kind of gets you started. There's prep work to do before that. And then I have a specific partner trauma intensive that I do just for the partner who's been traumatized. And then also I have an intensive I do that once you're through and in good recovery, I do a 3-day intensive that really helps you build and strengthen a marriage. Like you said, Carol, there is no marriage therapy to do until we address the addiction and start to rebuild trust. But trust can be built back. You know, there's 3 things that are very important for trust to be built back. There must be intentional living with integrity. In other words, what you say and what you do should line up over and over again. You've heard that old saying, say what you mean what you say, and never say it mean. It has to be intentional, intentional living with integrity. And then there has to be consistency. That doesn't mean there won't be slips, but there has to be consistency with sobriety and honesty and empathy, all of the things that we teach, accountability and kindness, transparency. We have to see more consistency. A person with an addiction, they have a lot of changes to make. They have an entire mindset to change, but the partner's looking for that consistency. And then the third one is time. It's going to take time, no matter what the addict does. Once he betrays you, he cannot earn that trust back immediately, no matter what he does. We always kind of look at trust like a jar of marbles, right? You're either putting marbles in or you're taking marbles out. We want to see consistency where that jar is getting full again. Bill and Ginger Burklaw, who you know, they have established that there's 3 steps to building trust, where you are in that first stage of verifying it. You have to have proof and receipts. Like, I do not trust anything that you say. So you have to prove everything to me. And then you move into the witness stage, which is you really start to see them follow through. In other words, what they say seems to be lining up. And then you move into that third stage of experience. And that's simply when you really feel it and you're living it. You feel comfortable. You feel safe. You feel valued. But again, it takes time. It cannot be done immediately, but with the help of a therapist who is trained specifically to address the sex addiction, the betrayal trauma, and as well to help you as a couple, whether you have one therapist that walks you through that, or you may have a therapist that sees the person with the addiction, the person who's betrayed, and then even a third person that can see the couple, but you do definitely want to get people who are experienced in this when you've been betrayed, and just the building the trust back takes time.
Well, you make a lot of sense. This makes a lot of sense. And again, I feel like trust is the number one area that's been most impacted, obviously due to the rejection and the betrayal. And then even, Dr. Crystal, when things start to go well and he's doing great and he's being empathetic and they're really working on their coupleship, there's that foreboding joy. A partner can't even lean into the improvement because they're so afraid of being betrayed again. So once trust is broken, can you really ever completely trust that guy again?
Yes, I think you do. I really think you do, with consistency. But I think that what happens is, Carol, that you realize the reality that everyone is capable to hurt you and to break your trust. And I think that's one of the hardest things to go through with betrayal trauma, is you might have had a real belief system that this person would never do this to me. This person would never harm me. God wouldn't allow this to happen to me. And then you go through something like this, and unfortunately, now you know the reality that we are all capable of doing wrong. It doesn't mean we're terrible people. That we are all capable of causing harm. We are all capable of developing an addiction. And the reality of that, I think, makes you wiser to some degree. But then if you are betrayed again, Carol, what we see is you're already strengthened because you've already had good boundaries. You already have a plan to leave the relationship if he breaks your trust in certain ways again. So there's so many things in place that if you do have to face something in the future of broken trust, we try to prepare you for that. So we don't ignore the fact that it's a possibility. We normalize that, but we don't have you live in fear.
Yeah, that is so important, not to live in fear. And of course, that requires some real cognitive behavioral work so that you help somebody identify what their hot thought is, and then create a more evidence-based, realistic hot thought. And when you do that, it no longer becomes a hot thought. It becomes an alternative way of thinking. So, and for today, Dr. Crystal, is there anything you want to add as you have gone over how someone can begin to build trust?
No, Carol, I've enjoyed having this conversation with you. I hope it brings some hope and some encouragement to the person who's been betrayed that may be listening today. But really, let people be there for you. You know, seek out a therapist. Find a trusted person that you can talk to. Ask for help. It will get better. But when you're first betrayed and for some time, your world is just not going to feel safe, internally and externally. And I'm so glad that APSET has come up with a certification to help us to be better prepared to help the betrayed partner.
Oh, I agree. And certainly you exemplify somebody who has taken that APSET training, gotten certified. You're certified in so many other areas of, you know, sexuality. I know you're going for a coaching certification, so you'll be able to help people all over the world. And again, I just want to recommend and remind everybody, you can reach Dr. Crystal at www.crystalhollenbeck.com. It is in the show notes, so you can go back to the show notes and take a look and reach out to her. She's an amazing professional, and she understands what's happened to you, what you want in your future, and how to get there. Thanks, Dr. Crystal.
Thank you, Carol. Have a great day.
All right, you too.
Bye-bye.
Yeah. I really appreciate her work, and her intensives are amazing. I sent several people there, and when she doesn't think they're ready, she sends them back to me. So, you know, she is really good at assessing where you are as a person and where you are as a coupleship. And that 3-day trauma healing intensive is amazing. It's out of Orlando, Florida, again. So I so appreciate that you shared your stuff with us today. I got some emails while we were listening to the show. They popped up. You can always email me at carol@carolthecoach.com and go to appsap.org and please look for a clinician or a coach in your area. It's always better when you can do it in person and or they're aware of the exact environment you live in. All right. I will see you next week for Mortgage Trail Recovery Radio. And as I always say, there'll only be one of you at all times, so fearlessly have the courage to be yourself.
For more information, go to appsap.org, the Association of Partners of Sex Addicts Trauma Specialists, to find a professional in your area who is trained to help you after sexual betrayal.